When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 496th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I have no voice. With me today is Greg and Will. I don't know. You figure it out.
Wow. He's just giving up on life today.
He's having a hard time.
It's a Saturday, so we could community day. And you're all like, why? Life.
I know. Why? We're going to have so much fun catching
Will is back.
Bulbasaurs. I have returned from the islands of Hawaii, bringing you much love and aloha.
Did you bring me poi?
No, that stuff is nasty.
I know, it's very bad.
Did you say poi?
What's the one thing I did like?
Poi.
Oh.
Poi.
It's a food that tastes kind of like... The closest thing would be plain yogurt,
I think that's an insult to plain yogurt.
Well, poi isn't... I can't critique poi. If you eat it with the right things, it's fine.
If you eat anything with the right things, it's fine.
But very few people seek out poi as a dish that they want to have on its own.
There is a special... What is one of the special dishes? What are like?
I mean, I ate everything in Hawaii. I ate all... Like, it's like I get to go once a year and I eat literally every Hawaiian thing. My... body does not appreciate me doing so. But
what is the thing that has like ground? That's like a ground beef patty and rice and gravy. And
Loco Moco?
Yeah.
I had Loco Moco. I had Kailua pig. I had a pork lao lao. I had Simon. I had huli huli chicken. Oh man!
Also, huli huli chicken too.
Unfortunately, and I'm glad that I'm able to restore myself. I started. Like, because when I was a little kid in Hawaii, I used to speak pidgin. Mm. And man, I started to get into my bad habits when I was there.
Right back to where you started.
Basically.
Okay, so for today's show, we got a 13-minute video on Legends.
Which we will discuss for 4 hours.
At a monster.
And then we have a little bit of other news, but not a crazy amount of news. I mean, we can be very selective this week, I suppose. Let's start with the Sword and Shield news, though. Which was that the Japanese Pokemon website announced that there will be the 2022 International Challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be 3 different tournaments. This was very similar to the end of Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, which was the Sun Cup, the Sun Cup, the Moon Cup, and then the Ultra Cup. The only difference here is the rules are not changing between those. It'll just be Season 12, which they've already announced that Season 12 will start on February 1st, and then it will run until August, which locks in the fact that that will be our 2022 world format in UK. If they decide to do that,
if we get to have it, yes,
yeah, in London,
when would it even be?
Well, it's usually August or September.
It's usually the first week of August. So I made a graphic for that. That's on Twitter, twitter.com/pkmencast. That's also on Instagram and stuff. If you need to remember, but ultimately, the first registration period will be between February 3rd to February 17th. That's where you can sign up. You'll be able to sign up in Sword and Shield, how you signed up for any other of the tournaments. That's how you got the Ball Guy shirt or the, you know, Metronome Cup or whatever. So you'll go into first menu. You'll go into online competitions. You'll sign up. As always, you do not need your team ready. You just need to sign up. And then the tournament actually starts on February 18th. Once the tournament starts, You cannot register anymore. You have to register beforehand. When the tournament starts, that's when you can pick your team. That's when it locks in. You just have to do one battle. It does not matter if you win or lose that battle. You can go into the battle with a Wooloo, a Squawvet, a Clobopus, and a Graplock. Those are your four favorite Sword and Shield Pokemon. Doesn't matter whether you win or lose. Once the battle is once the battles are over, then you have to wait until the rankings come out. And then once the ranking comes out, the gift will come. And this matters for everyone listening to the show, because the gifts are for February, Shiny Galarian Articuno. For March, Shiny Galarian Zapdos. And then for April, Shiny Galarian Moltres.
Now I definitely have to sign up, because I have not been able to catch those in the game.
I wasn't going to do it, but now I have to do it.
And then the March tournament will be, you can register between February 24th to March 10th. Battles March 11th through the 13th. Registration for the Moltres, which would be registration March 31st to April 14th. Battles April 15th through 17th. I did cross-reference these with the regional tournaments that are happening. None of these tournaments are taking place when a regional tournament is taking place. So that would be like Salt Lake City, Orlando, Florida, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, someplace in Canada. There's like two other tournaments I'm not remembering. I think one's in Pittsburgh. So none of these tournaments overlap with the regional tournaments that will be happening, at least in the United States. So that's relatively exciting. It's also, like, this whole thing is very similar to the end of Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. Instead, they did their Sun, Moon, Ultra Cup. They gave out Shiny, Tapu, Bulu, Lele, Finny. If anything, and we've talked about this before, and this will kind of transition into us talking about Legends, this seems... Like, how can I say this? There's always, like, anytime there's anything Pokemon related with games, there's always, when is the next game coming, right? Even when, like, I remember the day that Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee came out, and I was streaming it on Twitch, and people were like, what do you think the next, like, Let's Go game will be? And it's like, this game has been out for 2 hours. Why are we, like, already looking forward to the next thing? But... Like, rumors and speculations aside of, like, when are they going to make Black and White? When are they going to remake Johto? When is Gen 9? When is Gen 10? I do really think the competitive scene for Sword and Shield points that we're ready for the next game.
Yeah.
The GS Cup, which is what the Season 12 format will be, which is two restricted legends. Restricted legends being the legends that appear in the box. So you could use both Kyogre and Groudon on your team, for example. Whereas past formats in Sword and Shield, you could only use one restricted legend, so you're only allowed to use Groudon, or you're only allowed to use Kyogre, or you're only allowed to use Zacian. With this format being too restricted, being the GS Cup, taking us to August, them doing these birds just like how they did the Tapus at the end of Ultra, if there was no Gen 9 coming... What is competitive supposed to do for a whole another year?
Yeah. It's also very similar to the way that they ended the Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire time period. Because that's really when they started to introduce the, oh, we'll do a competitive season where you can do the legendaries. Because previously it was like never legendaries ever.
I remember the early Black and White where you were only allowed to use the decks, the Black and White decks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when those rules changed over. Obviously, Sword and Shield is the first game where they kept changing rules every, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, I guess necessarily it wouldn't have to be Gen 9. It could be...
Could be anything.
It could be Ultra Sword, Ultra Shield, right? They could... package it all together and add some more stuff and then resell
after
the game
after 3 years giving us the same game again.
I don't think that's like the smart decision. I think the DLC was fine. I don't think repackaging it and adding
it's
even
just,
more stuff is the correct way to go.
Normally, if Gen 9 was coming out at the end of this year, they would have teased it at the end of last year.
I don't think so.
They have in the past.
They have in the past, but with Sword and Shield, they teased it in February, and then it came out that year.
Yeah, and with Kalos, X and Y, it was like, it was February where you saw the Pikachu on the Eiffel Tower, and then October when the game came out. So they've done the same year. Yeah, definitely.
They have. I'm just wondering if...
Also, that in the case of releasing Diamond and Pearl remakes and Legends, they wouldn't want to...
detract from those sales?
Yeah. I do believe the speculation that Legends was probably supposed to come out earlier, and it probably got delayed because of COVID stuff.
I agree.
And I feel like they were like, well, we have to get it out before February, because February is when we're announcing Gen 9.
I agree. That's very... Yes. I have also been thinking like that they pushed Ilka to get Diamond and Pearl out just so they could have something in 2021. And they're like, well, we don't have to take responsibility for this because it's not us. And we got the good game. It's just not coming in the 25th anniversary year.
I'm sure that COVID and switching to a work-at-home lifestyle messed a lot of things up for a lot of game companies, not specifically Game Freak. We've heard...
For everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, given the state of everything right now, I would be concerned if they're going to try to get Gen 9 out this year.
Well, ideally, they would have been working on it since the end of Sword and Shield.
Right.
Yeah.
That, but people can't get things to make things right now.
What do you mean, like ramen noodles to sit at home and cook for yourself?
We can point to the game that I'm playing a lot of right now, which is Final Fantasy XIV, which can't get any new servers or any computer equipment or anything to expand on anything that they're doing. People can't make cartridges. People can't make anything right now. I am concerned because there is no end in sight for any of the shipping manufacturing equipment. Well,
stop
problems
buying
that we're
physical
having.
Copies. Do everything as downloadable and problem solved, mostly, kind of. Almost.
Yeah, but it's also coming up with Switch problems. Like, they can't make Switches. They can't make a lot of things.
Well, too, you shouldn't have waited. Get the Switch when it's
PS5s
in the store.
Either. I guess I'm not too worried about the game not being, like, done, because when they were making Sword and Shield, they made Little Town Hero, when they were making Let's Go Pikachu, they had Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee come out, and they had Pokemon Quest came out, and they had Sword and Shield come out. Like, they definitely have upped the amount of employees that have worked there since Ultra, since Sun and Moon. And I still, again, this will move us into the Legends game, and seeing they showed their hand. They were like, here's 13 minutes of what you're doing in Legends.
Yep.
And if I was to take Legends and I would to put it on a scale of whether it's going to be closer to Sword and Shield or whether it's going to be closer to Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. And before I put it on the scale, I will say I like both these games a lot. But Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee.
What is that scale?
Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go
Eevee. What's the scale?
Well, let me explain. Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee doesn't have nearly as much content as Sword and Shield. That's the scale.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So, like, Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, I think a very delightful game. 150 Pokemon, 8 gym leaders. You can really blaze through it. Not a lot to do post-game. You can still, of course, shiny hunt. You could still, of course, build a team to battle if you wanted to. But there's no breeding in that game. There's no abilities. You know, there's not a lot of complexity in Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. That's okay. I think it's still a great game. Sword and Shield, tons of things to do. 400 Pokemon to collect, max raid battles, the battle tower, different areas with, like, side quests. Like, you can get that ghost girl storyline and stuff. Online competitive battle, breeding, advanced breeding, shiny hunting. So, in a scale of Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee being a very simple but still enjoyable Pokemon experience, and Sword and Shield being like probably the most complicated Pokemon experience you're going to get from Game Freak, Legends seems to me, based off this trailer and based off of everything they've shown in the last year, it is closer to a Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. I don't think it's going to be this grand adventure that people aren't even comparing to Sword and Shield. They're comparing to Breath of the Wild, which I don't think is going to happen.
I think the appropriate scale is on a scale of Monster Hunter Rise to Pokemon Red and Blue. It's going to be much like Monster Hunter Rise, with maybe a little less complexity, because, man, it looks so similar to a Monster Hunter game. It's, like, incredible. Which means that they could have a lot of DLC for the different quests that people are going to ask you to complete for them, which can just add content as time goes on in a very simple way.
Yeah, they could, again, go back to our earlier conversation, not announce a Gen 9 and just announce Legends DLC or an expansion for the fall.
Oh, man, that would be the real Monster Hunter life. It's like, we'll give you the mini game first, and then we'll give you the maxi game later.
But, again, what do you do with competitive in your, like, what does your 2023 season look like for competitive?
We cancel it. No more competitive. Nobody wants
what
to
is
do
your,
that
What
anyways.
Does after August look like? Competitive-wise, for and I know people, some of the people listening to the show don't care about competitive, but that is such an important pillar that they've developed
over the
years.
So here's the problem, though. Like, it is an important pillar. It absolutely is. But also, we don't know. We can't predict if there's even going to be a competitive scene in August at this point.
Well, but competitive is always online, so it's like it can always exist.
It can exist, but they may—I mean, they may still be like, we are pushing everything off because it's important to have a vibrant. When we come back, we are coming back very strong.
I mean, they put their flag in the sand when they announced Diamond and Pearl, and they were like, "No competitive. It will remain in Sword and Shield."
Right.
So they knew that this end date was coming. And they have to have a plan after this end date.
One thing that they can always do, we have to, you know, think outside of the box a little bit, is disassociate the competitive Pokemon from the story type Pokemon game and just make like the official version of Pokemon Showdown.
Yeah, right? We're going to get Pokemon Battle Revolution 2, which is where all competitive is going to move.
It's like you make your Pokemon in whatever game is approved to generate Pokemon for competitive, bring it into the battle system, have your battles there, that's where competitive is, and then they can always, like, that can be evergreen, they can manage rule sets and everything within that one system and not have it tied to a specific generation of Pokemon game.
I would like that a lot better than
right? You could it could filter through Pokemon Home,
yeah.
Right? And things Absolutely. Have to come through Pokemon Home, meet criteria. If they meet those criteria, then put them into the battle simulator or battle program.
Pokemon Battle Revolution 2. One of the few games that I'm like, I just could never like that game. I tried. The announcer is great, though.
Greg, what did you think about this 13-minute trailer?
I mean, it's good. I feel like I'm setting my expectations that the amount of Pokemon that are going to be in this game is similar to how many were in Snap. I feel like there's going to be around 250 that they're going to pick with new forms for some of them.
Was Snap 250? I don't remember what Snap was.
Snap was 214? Pretty sure it was 214.
Yeah.
So, and I'm rounding it up for a nice number, 250.
151, because that's the number they like.
251. Yeah, 251. I thought it looked good. I think they pretty much also underlined this isn't an open world game because regions unlock. Like, they showed, like, you're on this section and everything else was covered in clouds. I feel like it's a wild area situation where it's open world in that one region, but new regions will unlock as you do things in the game or deal with Noble versus alpha Pokemon. I, you know, put it here. Don't like the term alpha Pokemon, but whatever. It's out there.
That is a very Monster Hunter way of doing things.
Yeah.
Like, when you're a Monster Hunter and you're assigned to do a particular quest, like, the quest is in Area A or Area B or Area C. And when you go out to that area and there's a lot of room to wander around in, but you can't go, well, Monster Hunter World. Now you still couldn't cross over to different areas. They were on the map next to each other, but you went to one particular one, and that's where you ran around.
I think we can fairly say it's not going to be this gigantic world that you just wander around in. Like, you specifically set out for regions.
Yeah, and you're going to have to keep coming back to Jubilife.
Yeah, and as you get Pokemon 2 ride, new regions will open up that you can get to. I think in the world, it's interesting. I'm curious about how I'm going to like the sort of sneaking system in this one. Like, you sneak around and you have to come from behind or they see you and then you have to blah, 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 blah. I am 100% into the Pokeball firing up a firework when it's caught the Pokeball. That is the cutest thing they've added.
I like that little noise.
Then I want that in the real games. I want a little firework. I think the game looks good. Like, I'm like, oh, it's pretty. I think it's nice that they showed off. There's a lot. I think my fear was there wasn't going to, like, it was going to be like Diamond and Pearl customization where you had the whole outfit It wasn't pieces. And they showed off pieces. Solid.
I did. I couldn't help but laugh when the first minute in the trailer, they show the trainer like slowly walking into the field and they're like, vast areas that you can explore with tons of Pokemon and like not a single Pokemon was on screen. And then
yeah, that was an issue. Yes.
And then he like takes a couple more steps and there's like three Bidoofs and it's like, yeah, this is looking really vast right now.
Yeah.
They're not going to give away the secret.
They've deleted some from that screenshot.
I'm a little concerned with the sneaking stuff too, just because I don't particularly like stealth in games. But also, they made that like a big deal. Do you remember the like Nintendo Treehouse of Sword and Shield where they're like, you can sneak and hide in the grass, and they like caught a Wingull, and everyone was like, mad that the Wingull didn't like flap its wings or something. But it's like, they made that a big deal, but I don't think I ever in the 2,000 hours I played Sword and Shield felt like I needed to sneak up on something.
No, I do feel like it's going to be the way it seemed to me in the trailer was it's easier if you use sneaking. Otherwise, you are going to have to go into a battle to weaken the thing.
Yeah.
So sneaking is going to be easier because things will either come at you or run away from you based off of the personality. So in general, if you just want to catch, sneaking is going to be your route, but also you can do these other things. So, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but every move can be chosen to be either agile or strong.
Yes.
Did you get that from the trailer? Okay.
But I don't know if it was like you only have a certain amount per battle and they reset, like a Z move situation, or if they're pulling from some sort of inventory of like collecting scrolls. Like, that's what I was unsure of.
The way it felt to me was you will be able, so if you select agile, it cuts the power. If you select strong, it increases the power. But also, there's just a regular just use the move, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know if that's going to be limited, and to how many of those you get.
But there's a consequence to both of them, right? If you do agile, you move the move goes faster than it should, but it's less powerful. If you choose strong, the move is more powerful, but the opponent will get more attacks in before you get to attack again.
So my question about that system is for things that don't do damage. So for a Thunder Wave, where you want to get paralysis on there, is there any reason why you wouldn't use Agile? Because it would go fast and you get an immediate turn. Because what is it reducing in power?
I don't have an answer to that, but the Cleaver uses Stealth Rock in the trailer, and Stealth Rock just straight up does damage right away.
Yep. Well, and seems to continue to be doing damage. Yeah.
So was that like strong style Stealth Rock?
Yeah, I don't know.
So like,
I have
if
a lot
you
of strong questions
style
about
Thunder Wave,
system.
Does it do electric damage and then paralyze?
Mm. Yeah, I'm intrigued by the system. It's a weird active turn based system, and it 100% reminds me of Final Fantasy Tactics. So I already am like immediately into this battle system, and I like those choices as long as it's easy to see the turn order, right? Like, as long as it's easy to tell if I do this as agile, this is what I'm getting. If that is hidden or confusing, then it's going to be a problem.
They showed like they showed the trainer like running on Weirdeer and then running to the edge of a cliff and then it transitioning into Bravery.
Yeah, like just jumping.
And I don't know if they hit like a button to do that or if it was automatic, but it was really clean.
In a couple of the screenshots, they have the symbols of the Pokemon that are rideable.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Yeah, it's like above the Pokeball.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if it's just as easy as you switch between the icon and you immediately change.
Mm.
Because they had two arrows next to it, so I'm imagining like you just hit the arrow over to switch to the next one. Because it was very smooth in the trailer.
I want to see a graphic of me like jumping off the Weirdeer or just off into the emptiness of air, and then the Braviary flies under me.
I want to see the Braviary come grab and kill the Weirdeer and pick you up in its claws.
Why does it have to be violent?
Because this is the past. There's violence everywhere.
It didn't have to be.
This is like the Final Fantasy problem. Why would I be on Weirdeer when I could just be on Braviary?
Because Braviary is in the air and Weirdeer's on the ground. Can't get ground things if you're in the air. I'm sure Weirdeer could swim too if it wanted to. If it was trying real hard.
Like, oh, you're saying that you can maybe mine on Weirdeer, maybe?
Yeah.
Or encounter ground or encounter. Pokemon.
But if I'm, let's be honest here. We've all played Pokemon games. There's a certain point where you don't want to encounter anything. You just want to get from point A to point B.
It should be Suwanna, because Suwanna, like ducks, are the ultimate animal that can do sky, ground, and water.
Yeah.
Like very few animals can do all three.
Suwanna is the true Arceus. So, and I also wonder if how much control you have for flying on Braviary. Or if it is a situation where when you get to the edge of a zone and you need to transition to the next zone, Braviary comes to take you to the next zone. And that's the only really thing you get from Braviary.
Now, I had this sense that you're going to have sky encounters. And it's like Braviary takes you within, you can fly around within a zone, but not across zones.
Maybe. They didn't answer that question.
Braviary just hits like a invisible cloud wall.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It you cannot fly any higher in this zone.
I'm glad they showed like what the game is. Because I do think they really showed their hand of like, this is what you're doing. And the whole point of a video game trailer, or the whole point of what this was called, a gameplay preview, is like, this is what you're buying.
Yeah.
If you're going to Jubilife, you're getting quests, your main overall goal is to complete the Pokedex, which involves catching Pokemon. They've said there is no battling other humans. It doesn't even look like there are trainers in this game. I'm sure there are, but I can't imagine there's just youngster Joey hanging out in the middle of the field and you can battle him. Like, maybe, but maybe. It doesn't look like there's... Maybe they showed like one trainer battle of you battling like a...
I feel like given what they've shown and said about the story, having existing trainers out in the world feels not what the theme of the game is.
Yeah, agree.
There may be trainers in the towns, but it's definitely got the feel of you're going out and exploring and trying to find these Pokemon in the wild. And it says in the trailer a time before Pokemon and humans really worked together.
Yep.
So it would feel very weird to run into people who are like, I have 7 Pokemon pals and we're going to battle you. Like, that doesn't feel like it fits the theme.
Yeah. To me, it's more like they would have an arena in Jubilife. And it's like, if you have a Pokemon team, you can do like an arena quest and select somebody to battle.
It doesn't look like there's any breeding of any sort. No, like daycare for eggs. And the only reason I personally don't care, but that was like a huge complaint for Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. People hung their hat on being very upset that there was no breeding in that game. And it's like, I get it. I get that most main series Pokemon games have breeding, but I also understand that they're remaking Pokemon Yellow here. The originals didn't have breeding. There's only 150 Pokemon to begin with. What are you going to breed for a Geodude? You can find a million of those. They're very easy to find.
And also, to be fair, eggs weren't discovered until modern Johto, so...
Yep.
I don't know what you expect. There are no eggs. They just are. They just exist.
So we have this game coming out in 2 weeks. Doesn't seem like there's a bunch of trainer battles. Doesn't seem like there's breeding. Obviously, there's no gyms. It seems to be replaced with those nobles. So there's no multiplayer besides the fact you can trade other people.
Yep.
You're completing a Pokedex. The Pokedex that your main goal is to complete a Pokedex, and they haven't even told us how many Pokemon there are. That's concerning.
250.
And
one.
They, like, the whole gameplay loop is go out, catch these Pokemon. Some of them are stronger than others. Here are some styles. Here's some customization. And here is what a noble fight looks like.
And
if they're hiding something better, that you're.
But this is like, this is almost exactly what Monster Hunter is, and you love Monster Hunter.
I'm not complaining.
Do you just not want Monster Hunter in your Pokemon?
First off, I don't think this is
Reese's peanut butter cups.
First off, I don't think this is going to be nearly as good as complex or as in depth that Monster Hunter is. Not even close.
I can see that. But I'm just thinking, like, as a game concept, get a quest, go out, complete the quest, bring it back, get resources for completing that quest.
Yes. No, I like that gameplay loop. I like it a lot. I just don't. And the game looks good. I'm excited to play it. I just don't think it's going to be this Breath of the Wild game that we're going to hear about.
Oh, no. No. I agree. That's the one in September when you can go, when you get a quest, you can bring three other Pokemon researcher trainers, whatever they're going to be called in this game, with you.
Yeah.
And then you all get the Pokemon.
Legends of Arceus Rise stories.
Exactly. No, it's like Sunbreak or whatever it's called.
Yeah, so even though I'm very excited for the game. I know I like that gameplay loop for Monster Hunter. If there is something more to this game and they decided not to show it in 13 minutes, what they've showed so far, what they showed in this 13-minute trailer wasn't anything that they didn't already show. They expanded on it a little bit more, but if you weren't sold on everything leading up to this trailer, and then this trailer came out and you still are not sold, I don't know what they would be hiding or holding back to convince somebody that they should get this game. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
The only thing, the way I would put it is the only things that they would be holding back are things that will make the game enjoyable, but would also, if not interpreted the right way, would be a disincentive. Like, what if they said, like, you know, let's put it in a Monster Hunter framework. What if they said, like, the clothing sets you can get give you buffs towards how you interact with the Pokemon in the field? And then people got, like, super, like, upset because it's like, why should my clothes impact how I operate when I'm playing the game? And then we find out that that's actually really cool because that's the fun of Monster Hunter. Was designing those sets that, like, give you the buffs that you want when you're out in the field, right? So that could be a disincentive to some people until they start playing and realize how fun that actually is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Pokemon Company always plays it very, very safe.
Yes.
They're going to show 95% of what you're going to be doing in that game. So I do not think there is... The only thing I think that they are probably not talking about is things that are for, like, niche market things. Shiny Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that matters to a tiny group of people, and those group of people who are obsessed with it are going to buy the game anyway. So there's no point in putting them in the trailer. They are going to keep new forms hidden because they like those to be surprises in the game.
Yeah.
So if there are new forms, if there's new Pokemon...
I mean, they've hidden Arcanine from us. They've hidden Electrode from us.
They've hidden a lot of things. So I think the gameplay trailer is exactly what it said it is. This is how you play the game. Period.
And yeah, and like they did, like I think they did a really good job of giving the example of the quest system. It's like you see somebody in town, that person says, I want to see what Shinx's ears look like. then you go out, catch a Shinx, bring it back, show it to that person. There's a cute little animation of the Shinx turning around so you can see his ears. And he's like, oh boy, that's what the ears look like.
Yeah.
And that, what was the other one they had? It was like something, it's like, I don't think Pokemon can be different sizes. So it's like, you want to catch a bunch of one right. type of Pokemon.
And also, they showed, at least in Jubilife City, you have access to everything that's in your party and in the pasture. Because it no opened computers. Up the menu to say, like, you know, pull it from here or pull it from here. My question is, and it probably doesn't matter to gameplay, is do you have access to the pasture outside
when you're
of,
in the field?
When you're in the field. Like, is this a the box goes with you wherever you go sort of situation?
I also greatly appreciated that they said that the Arc phone was mysterious.
Mysterious, yeah.
The mysterious Arc
right
phone.
It's mysterious.
I also don't understand the Cleaver battle they show, because they show much more of the Cleaver battle.
Yeah.
I guess as a Pokemon trainer, am I throwing ramen packets at Cleaver?
I mean, it's just food that it likes, not ramen packets. Yeah.
It says it throws balm. It's its favorite food.
Yep.
Yeah.
It can be hit.
Unlimited balm.
It will calm it down. What doesn't make sense to me thematically is in every single Pokemon game, you go walk into the grass and then you get yelled at that the grass is dangerous and you need a Pokemon there to protect you. And this is the opposite.
We didn't know that yet.
We didn't know that. This is a brand
new
world. We didn't know how dangerous the grass is.
It's a very chicken and the egg question. It's like, who was the person to throw the first Pokeball? No, people had to be walking in that grass getting attacked first before they developed a method for ameliorating that danger.
Also, you're 10 years old. You don't know about stealth.
In this trailer, this girl gets sliced by this Cleaver and she's glowing red. And then eventually she brings out her Psyduck or Oshawott. Psyduck. She brings out Psyduck, yeah.
What? So the way it seems to be from what they showed is you run around throwing bombs until it calms down enough for an opening where you can actually battle it to weaken it. And then that window will close and then you have to go back to ramen packets until it calms down again. Because it kept saying that there would be breaks.
I saw it the opposite, and you could see at the top of the screen there was like a four segmented yellow thing.
Yeah,
and for me it was battle it until it hits one of those segments, then it will lower its guard. That's when you throw the bomb.
I thought the other way, that you throw the bomb to calm it until it's one of those segments, and that's when you can battle it. Because they said you have there'll be moments when it lowers its defenses. She was throwing the bombs, and then it changed over health part, and then she threw out the Pokemon.
I would look at that again. It's gonna be fun. I'm gonna have a fun, good time.
I don't know. She like uses so I just rewatched it back. So she strong styles Psyduck, water guns it, and it takes like 90% of its HP. It uses Stealth Rock. Psyduck has like 2 HP left. Psyduck uses Water Pulse. Which, if strong style is supposed to make you like go slower, it went next. So I'm assuming the Stealth Rock was also strong style. That's why it did damage. So they both use strong style moves. She uses Water Pulse. Water Pulse knocks it out, and then so now Cleaver has no HP, and it says Cleaver let its guard down. Now is your chance to throw bombs. And now it's. Now, so it goes back to its overall, it goes back to the huge bar, and the huge bar has it at 75%. And so now she's throwing bombs, and it's bringing it down to 50%. Now it's down to 40%, but Psyduck's gone, and then the trailer ends. So Psyduck does officially knock out Cleaver, but its HP is different than the bar at the top. So I don't know. It seems fine. I guess. I mean, it's more action-y, adventure-y, instead of just turn-based.
Yeah. So, I mean, the trailer starts, the battle starts with that yellow bar full, and she's running around trying to throw bombs at it.
Mm-hmm. So you bomb it, you Pokemon battle it, you beat the battle, but that takes a huge chunk out of the top bar, you bomb it again, you probably have to do it three times. It's a video game trope, you probably have to do it three times.
Mm-hmm.
this could just be like a one-off game, something they're trying.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee doesn't seem like it's this ongoing series. It was like something they tried.
Well, I mean, what I was also thinking was it could be similar to what is it like you have with like Zelda, where you have the one game where it's just like kill, like constantly fighting lots of hordes and everything, and that's just not a regular Zelda game.
Oh, Hyrule
like,
Warriors.
Hyrule Warriors.
Right? So this could be like you have like the Pokemon Legends games, which are this type, and then the Pokemon, maybe they'll add a name to it, like which is the traditional story adventure. And then you'll have Battle Arena, which is which you can take your Pokemon 3. From either one that you catch and transfer them into Battle Arena for the competitive market. And now we're selling like 8 games a year.
Yeah. Win.
I wonder if this was... So you know how Game Freak has what's called the... what do they call that? The something project? Gear Project games. And Little Town Hero was a Gear Project, and Tembo the Elephant was a Gear Project, and...
Great game.
I wonder if this was a Gear Project game, and they were like, you know, Tembo and Little Town Hero and all this other stuff sold like garbage, and no one bought it.
Pocket Jockey.
Pocket Card Jockey was so good. Best Game Freak game. And they were like, let's just slap Pokemon on here.
I mean, it was. I imagine the idea was, sure. But then they're like, because it feels like if less like, let's just slap it on there if they're going to introduce new Pokemon types.
Yeah, I guess we don't know how long this has been in development for either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, did they start this after they finished Little Town Hero? Did they start this as soon as Sword and Shield was done? When did they ask Ilka to start making Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl?
We will never know.
It looks good. It looks good. My main concern here is it's going to be a relatively short experience. But I don't think that's bad. I mean, Pokemon Quest was a pretty short experience, and I love that game.
I have a feeling it, judging by the previous thing that they did that had regions that unlocked and reasons to go back into them, which was the new Snap, I have a feeling that this is going to be a longer game than we're giving credit for it.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice. It'd be nice to be wrong on that. You know, everyone, we all three of us thought Snap was going to be relatively short. And
so
Snap was long if you liked the gameplay loop.
Right.
If you just wanted to see the credits, Snap was actually relatively short.
I think it's going to be the same here. If you just want to follow the storyline through, it's a short game. But if you want to do a bunch of the side quests, if you really enjoy doing the game and going out and collecting resources and finding things for people, it's going to be a much longer game. I get a very strong Snap vibe from how this game is created and laid out.
I agree.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some police officers getting arrested for playing Pokemon.
Well, not arrested, but yeah.
Not arrested.
We will be right back. This podcast brought to you by Every Plate.
This year, give yourself and your wallet a break. Enjoy delicious, affordable meals delivered to your door and ready to go in just 6 simple steps. Even at full price, Every Plate is 50% cheaper than a meal made from grocery store ingredients, making it easy to save money. Think of it this way. One meal from Every Plate is about the same price as one cup of coffee.
There's a lot of meal kits out there. Every Plate is very affordable and very good. And spicy chicken is on its way.
How long from when you place your spicy chicken order to when you get your spicy... Like, what is the...
Yeah, what's the delivery turnaround?
Oh, you can set it up so Every Plate delivers on, like, a day you prefer. So for me, we have it set up where it delivers on, like, Sundays. So you'll have, like, all week to, if you want to, like, change your menu. I think it closes like 2 days before. So if you go to the website and then you like pick your meals, you have until like Thursday night to change it if it's coming on Sunday. And then you can skip a week too, because they don't have like the spicy chicken, which I love. They don't have the spicy chicken every week. So like some weeks you can be like, I don't really like any of the food this week. And you could just like pause that week. So it's like really easy, really customizable. And there's like a bunch of, there are some meals too that are really cool where I can't remember what it's called, but you can like, you can customize the meal even more. So it'll be like steak with carrots, and you can actually go in and change the carrots out to like broccoli instead.
Ooh, customized. Yum. So try EveryPlate for just $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code supereffective179. That is everyplate.com, enter code supereffective179, and you can get started with EveryPlate for just $1.79 per meal. That is up to $104 in values. EveryPlate.com, enter code supereffective179.
And we are back. All right, a million
from our break.
A million people sent me this over the last week. This is off TheVerge.com. LAPD officers fired for catching a Snorlax instead of a burglar denied appeal. Squad car recordings caught the officers playing Pokemon Go instead of responding for a request for backup. Two LAPD officers who were fired from their jobs in 2017 for playing Go while on duty have appealed their reinstatement denied by a California judge. The two officers' squad car, the officer's squad car video camera showed the two officers, we'll ignore their names, ignored a request for backup to play the game, according to court documents. The pair were stationed near a robbery in progress. And after responding, the officers put out a call for backup. Two officers ignored the call and left the area. When asked later why they didn't respond to the call, the two officers said they were in a loud area, couldn't hear the radio. Supervisors were skeptical of their explanation, checking the car in the in-car recording system, known as the commonly known as a dash cam, which revealed the two heard the call and chose to go elsewhere as they didn't want to help. The supervisor reported the incident, which opened a formal investigation. After it went to court, an intensive review in the in-car video system revealed that shortly after leaving the scene, the two officers could be heard discussing Pokemon Go, including a Snorlax that appeared and the best route to intercept to catch it. For approximately 20 minutes in the in-car video system captured, saw the officers discussing Pokemon as they drove to different locations where the virtual creatures apparently appeared on the phone. When confronted, the officers denied they were playing Go and said they were just having a conversation. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, Snorlax, you snore. It's yeah. really loud, and you can't yeah. hear the radio over Snorlax snoring, clearly.
So I saw the headline, and I saw that this was trending on Twitter as well. Snorlax, the word Snorlax was trending on Twitter for a whole day. I didn't realize that this was a, and I'm sure people listening to the show who probably didn't read any of the articles and just read headlines, didn't realize that this was from 2017 and that their case just went to appeals.
Yeah.
Well, that's, it did become public until, like, court records, which are public, could then be.
Right.
Right, you don't discuss litigation until like the case is closed, and then it becomes a matter of public record.
So this whole case just went public this week. That's why we know.
Yeah, that's why. Like it came to light because they had their appeal denied, case closed, done.
Yeah, because who doesn't have a Snorlax at this point?
Right,
come on, I'll trade you one, dude. Just go stop that burglar.
Go for backup. The picture, though. On the Verge.
Oh, no.
makes me laugh every time. It is the Snorlax, and then they picked the security guard guy with the worst look on
his from face. Sword and Shield.
It makes me laugh every time I look at it. Oh, my God. It's so funny. Well done, Verge, for making this graphic. It is the most simplest thing.
Was it Simone? Me. Oh, no. Ash no. Parrish. I'm pretty. Simone de Rochefort works for The Verge, right? I think. Maybe.
Maybe.
This was written by Ash.
Ash Parrish.
Ash Ketchum.
Ash Karam.
What were you asking?
if Simone de Rochefort works for The Verge.
Oh, that I'm not sure of. Some other Pokemon news here. This is off Pokemon.com. Pokemon Unite January 2022 producer letter. Revealed in the new producer level, among information, some exciting news for Pokemon Unite. We'll be joining the Pokemon World Championships in 2022. Soon, teams around the globe will be able to put their Pokemon Unite skills to a test over the competitive season. Qualifying teams will make it to the Pokemon World Championship in August to participate for the world title. They also added Trevenant, or Trevenant is coming to the game as a playable character.
That'll be interesting to see a tree running around.
Yeah. Also, I think the big thing is that they're adding, what are they calling it? Tournament mode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing they're adding is more languages. Unite will support Brazilian, Portuguese, Hindi, Russian, Turkish, a couple other languages here.
Okay, it's actually Brazilian Portuguese.
It does say Brazilian Portuguese. Yes, there is no comma in between. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. And the big thing about tournament mode is it will even the playing field for competitors regardless of their held item grades.
People are, Unite's a game. I wonder if watching, if people had an opportunity to watch Unite at a high skill level, they would be more likely to get in. And the reason I say that is I remember taking a non-Pokemon fan to the California World Tournament. They didn't know too much about Pokemon. They were just they really wanted to go to California. I was like looking to, you know, split a room with somebody in California. They went to the World Championship. They ended up watching, at the time that was Black and White, they ended up watching the Black and White VGC stuff live there. And literally after that tournament, after that weekend, they ended up buying a 3DS for the first time, buying a copy of... was it Black and White? It might have been Black and White. Buying a copy of Pokemon, getting into the card game. So I wonder if... I wonder if, like, this is what Unite needs, just to be, like, featured on, like, the main stage.
I think it needs millions of dollars of prizes behind it. That's what drives people these days. Do you think people play League of Legends because they enjoy it? No, they play League of Legends because they think they're going to make millions of dollars off of it.
I mean, Unite is free, and it's on iOS and Android and Switch. So besides marketing it, if people aren't playing it, I don't know what else to tell you. When was the last time you played Unite?
Halloween.
Really?
So you didn't do any of the winter stuff?
Nah. Well, because I had a friend who said we were going to play together, and he
I heard this story before.
And I got so bitter
and heartbroken. You act like I played without you.
I got so bitter and heartbroken that I just couldn't, I couldn't even look at the game.
Are you telling me there was no one else you could play Unite with?
No.
Just me.
No, there were, I mean, here's the thing. Every time I think, oh, maybe I'll play Unite, I get slightly tired. There's going to be a lot of very frustrating matches. And unless I know for sure somebody that I want to play with is on and I'm getting on at the same time that they are, it's just sort of hard to get. Plus, I've had a much larger game that ate up all of my December. So it wasn't even like a conscious decision not to play Unite. It was just, I have a better game that I have to sit in a 3,000 queue for. I'm going to load that up and then watch TikTok on my phone while I sit in queue.
No Pokemon Go news this week that we didn't really cover. I mean, Classic Community Day will be... Let's see, this podcast comes out on the 17th. Classic Community Day will be the 22nd of January. That will also be the same day as Pikmin Community Day. Be able to do both at once for the five people out there still playing Pikmin Bloom.
I play every day.
I play every day too. Well, I mean, like play as
I
in
mean,
like
I don't
open the
I don't
app.
Check in. It wants me. It says, "Hey, you took a bunch of steps today." I'm like, "Yeah, whatever."
I have a bunch of Pikmin that are currently on their way from Honolulu to St. Paul. I also have a bunch of Pikmin that I have sent from here back to Hawaii.
I hope they are able to breathe in water, or you just doomed all your Pikmin.
It's very interesting.
Yes, the blue ones.
When you check on their travel, they it shows us grass underneath them. So they're spontaneously generate islands underneath their own feet.
Pikmin are amazing.
Greg, question of the week.
Okay, hold on. Question of the week. Question of the week. Question of the week.
This is from Alex. What of the announcement features of Legends Arceus can make or break the game?
A tough question.
I mean, I think crafting can always make or break a game.
True.
We didn't talk about this, but they did show that there was like bulk crafting in Legends where you could make like five Pokeballs at once. And that was something that Animal Crossing New Horizons did not have. Like, if you wanted to make fish bait in Animal Crossing, you were making it one at a time.
One at a time. Bulk crafting is good. I'm trying to think. I mean, I think my biggest concern is how good the sneaking system is, right?
Mm.
If that whole getting close to Pokemon is super annoying, no matter what route you have to take, that like that is a game breaker for me.
I think if the only Pokemon available in the game are the ones like the new forms, Bidoof, Floatzel, or Buizel, I don't remember which was in the video, and Shinx, that's going to be disappointing. Because those are like the only ones we've seen. Oh, wait, we've seen a Psyduck. Yeah, I mean, Pokemon selection, right? Which Pokemon are available is a big tell for people.
Bulk crafting, solid.
I think the character customization looks good.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like character customization can always be better, but it looks like this is as good. This is better than Sun and Moon and Let's Go and Diamond and Pearl. Don't know if it'll be better than Sword and Shield.
But see, that's also a make and break for me, because there have been games where I spent 2 hours on character customization and then I started playing because it was like really complicated and thorough. Right. Then I started playing the game and I was like, I hate this game. I have a fantastic looking character that is this game. I don't want him in this world.
I'm trying to think of anything else they showed. I mean, I'm concerned about how potentially frustrating noble battles might be. Like, if it's a thing where the pattern or what you have to do is super not obvious and just super frustrating, like, that is a surefire way to get me to stop playing that game. Like, if I can't, I don't mind having to figure things out, but if it is so incredibly difficult or it's absolutely 100% like dexterity based, like, you have to be so twitchy on your control, that could turn me off of this game
so
real quick.
One thing about, because I was worried about dexterity too, one thing to notice in the screenshot is that they say ZL to focus, which to me says like ZL for assisted aiming. So it's not super dexterity, it's more timing.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, because you have to dodge out of attacks.
But there's also a button to dodge. It's not like you have to, like, right? I think it's like, press the button, you dodge, so do your timing.
I'm sure there's like advanced controls of auto dodges or auto aim or whatever.
Maybe. We will see. I mean, that could ruin the game, right?
This is off our YouTube. This is from Cookie Kingler. Question of the week. If you were to update the egg/breeding system, what would you do to it?
I would make it so that the Pokemon that comes out could either be mother or father and have that randomized.
Oh, instead of the mother always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I do have a lot of problems with the egg and breeding system only because it's been the same for so long. I mean, they've done minor things over the years of passing down the ball and
I get to select what ball it goes into.
Oh, please.
Leave the extra balls at the daycare. If an egg comes out, let's put it with this ball. Okay,
the,
good.
The egg move stuff they've done. I think about
like,
how
what
much...
What are your main problems with breeding? Just how long it takes?
How I've been doing the same thing for 10 plus years.
I mean, humanity's been doing the same thing for billions of years. So has the animal kingdom. So, like, what about that, apart from the fact that it's been the same, which is you put two things together and an egg appears?
I will say it takes too long in the sense of, like, waiting for five eggs to hatch and then watching each animation just seems like a waste of time. If anything, just let me see all five eggs hatch at the same time. Put them all next to each other. That would be nice.
I think at this point in the stage, the random step requirements are pointless.
That some eggs take longer than others?
Yeah.
I just thought of something that's based on what Steve just said. Because I don't really have any frustrations with the egg system right now. I'm perfectly fine with it, except that I have to stop and talk to somebody to get a new egg each time. I wish they could just like, hey, you had 8 eggs generate while you were walking around. Come get all 8.
Yeah. The conversation of, do you really want the egg? Are you sure you want it?
Exactly. Like,
yes, I've been biking in front of you for 48 hours. Every time I've picked up the egg, yeah, I want the egg.
Oh, now we've gone down this awful path, because now I'm like, could we have a system where somebody like not only I can stockpile eggs, but then somebody can smell the egg and say, oh, this one smells like it has really great IVs. So we don't have to go through the process of hatching and then find out it was a garbage Pokemon.
I mean, the thing that I, having done it the old way, and honestly, item-wise, what I would like to see is, let's say, like we have the Destiny Knot issue that brings them down. I would like to say, like, let's say you have a golden bottle cap and you have one of them hold the golden bottle cap, and that guarantees 6 perfect IVs. Like, you have to find a golden bottle cap, which is at the end of the game. You have one of them hold it, and it just fixes the IV problem.
Or, not even that, have, let's say, musical instruments. And, like, if you hold this musical instrument, it will, like, give you these 5 IVs as perfect. If you hold, because you don't always want 6 perfect, right? Sometimes you want one to not be so bueno. And just, like, you select what instrument it holds, and that's what IVs.
But like, but if you could make one with 6 perfect, and then drop back to the 5, not one, like it cuts out so much of that build-up time.
Yeah,
it also stops like let's hack in 6 IV perfect dittos. Like if you can just guarantee that one of the children is gonna come out with 6 perfect IVs by putting on a bottle cap. And then going from there, I think the biggest issue that I have with breeding isn't the mechanics. It's fine. It's how they work. Is that it takes so long to build up. And it is still one of the areas where people look at it and think it's faster to hack than to do this the old way. So if there's a way to cut that out, if there's a way to guarantee the IVs were all at 31s, I think that would make breeding 1,000 times better.
Yeah, the two things that come to mind for me is like everyone just sticks a perfect ditto in there and then never thinks about that ditto again.
Yep.
And there's like no benefit or there's nothing interesting about actually like using the other mechanics that they built of like water egg group, dragon egg group, Amorphous egg group. Like those are never even considered or used because it's like just stick a ditto in there, let's move on.
Well, and I mean, that was a bigger thing when you couldn't do the egg move thing, right? Like where you could put two in there and it would teach one of the egg moves over. I think for passing down moves, the groups still matter, but again, we've gotten to a point where even those groups don't matter because it's easier to get an egg move onto something now. Also, you can catch things in the wild that have the egg move now, right? Like, they've slowly made the egg groups obsolete because it's way easier to get moves passed down nowadays than to form the chain like you used to.
The other thing I was going to say is I think that with how just games have moved from like even 5, 6, 7 years ago, that most games want you to log in every day and to like grab your attention again. And Pokemon has enough hooks where you would want to log in every day. Like, things refresh, Pokemon refresh. And I can't think about how much I liked Pelago and having to put eggs in Pelago and then the next day check it. And that should just be like a thing in every Pokemon game going forward, is there's a spa here next to the daycare.
There's an incubator.
Let me put like 12 eggs in it every night before I go to bed. And now I have another reason to come back to your game every day. Even if I'm not playing.
Yeah.
Or exploring or doing a battle, I'm logging into your game. I'm checking my eggs. Could be exciting. If not, I'm going to put more eggs in and I'm going to come back every day.
It would be nice to have the guy who has the egg just say, do you want to take it with you or do you want to put it in the incubator?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think there could be a lot of... I feel like the whole egg system could just be stripped out and start fresh.
Man, this question has really opened up. It seemed so innocuous to start with, and now it's like
what,
so much.
What fresh looks like.
Not sitting in front of a daycare for 20 plus hours a week, spinning in circles. Like, it would be nice if I could, like I think about how much time in Sword and Shield I wasted. Just like, okay, I'm going to go through all of Island of Armor. I'm going to pick up all my feathers. I'm going to pick up all the items on the ground. I'm going to shake all the trees. And it's like, yeah, you could bring eggs with you, but you still have to do the work up front to sit in front of the daycare, spin in a circle, talk to the old person, then like the maintenance of like moving the 5 into your inventory, making sure you have flame body. Okay, now I'm going to start exploring. Now I'm going to get stopped. Got to wait for these animations. Like, there's, if the game wants me to do a bunch of repetitive, mindless tasks, it sucks that like I have to do so much setup to even do that. Like, can you imagine spinning in front of the daycare for hours to get enough eggs so then you can do your dailies with your eggs, so you're like trying to kill two birds with one stone but not really? Like, it's just a little like, I wish there was a better system for all of this.
So what you want is a shorter time for the eggs to get produced?
I wouldn't even mind if the eggs take longer to hatch.
No, but I mean, like, for the person to find the eggs, say, hey, we found eggs.
It would almost be like, just, like, put the 2 Pokemon in the daycare, have maybe even, like, a separate bag that's your egg, whatever, and if that is full, the things will hatch when you walk around. You don't have to put them in your party, but once they hatch, new ones fill in. So it's almost like you're playing this entire game with, like, the eggs that you've set up.
So would you want, like, you put your 2 Pokemon in the daycare, and since we now have cell phones in literally every game, including the past, the person calls you and says, "That we found an egg, do you want to come back and get it, or do you want it to go in the incubator?" And it doesn't matter where you are in the game, you just get the call. And then you can say, put it in the incubator, or I'll come and get it.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I just feel like there's something better that you can do that's not just like, if you wanted to, if your goal was like, I'm just gonna sit out here and grind out perfect IVs or shinies in front of the daycare, like, yeah, go for it. But it would still be nice to be like, I have all these eggs and I would like to hatch them, but I also just want to do other things. And I don't want to pick and choose between like farming berries or sitting in front of the daycare spinning a circle.
I am on a romantic Ferris wheel ride with my green-haired boyfriend, yes. N. He's about to ask me a very important question. Ring, ring, ring. Hey, this is Abe from the nursery. Your Pokemon just got an egg. What do you want me to do with it?
And like, this is real life, Will.
And then Anne is like,
this is real life.
No, because at least two out of three of us are on the do not disturb, no notification squad. Possibly three out of three of us. I don't know. I can't speak for you, Greg. Youngster Joey is going to be in charge of the.
Nursery.
Here's the opposite question. If Gen 9 comes out, do you want another game that is the same, ultimately the same system that it was for Sword and Shield, for Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, for Sun and Moon, for X and Y, for Omega Ruby, for literally all the way back to original Diamond Pearl? It has been almost exactly identical.
Yeah?
No, I want to have a berry farm in one place where I can farm all my berries in one place and not have these little plots of between four and two potential berries that are, that you can't even fly to them. Let's address the real problem, berries.
Finally, it's taken 2 months. Will is on the hating Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl bandwagon.
Don't hate it. Don't hate it. I'm just very upset that I couldn't get a berry farm. Oros had the same problem, except that you could fly to the berries in Oros.
You could fly to the berry farm. Yeah, I mean, every game brings slight changes to breeding. And apart from the time it takes, I don't have a problem with breeding. Again, having my biggest complaint about breeding in Brilliant Diamond was it took so long, and it would be better if it took less time on all of the steps. But I still don't have a good, like, when we say, do you want something new? I don't know what something new looks like to say, yeah, I want that. Because that something new is so amorphous that I can't say, like, throw out all the improvements that you've made so far. Don't improve on things. Chuck it all and give me something completely different, because I have no idea what something completely different is. So my inclination isn't, yeah, I want something absolutely something new, something completely different, because they have done things like that and they have been awful.
The big trap that I think a lot of Pokemon fans frequently fall into is if you make something too easy at certain points, if you make something too easy, people lose interest. It's not worth doing anymore. It's not there's just like some like level that you pass where it's like, it doesn't take any effort to do this. Well, I don't even want to bother to do this because it's not an achievement anymore. And well, I think like that's the drawback.
But you could look at Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl as a good example of this. Why would you ever breed in those games?
It's awful.
like the bike is awful. The movement is awful. The like where you can actually breed is not particularly engaging or interesting. Having to start everything over again from 2+ years of Sword and Shield, where it was way easier to get an actually like legit 4 IV Ditto and like to trade with other people. Like, the only way to get a 5 IV Ditto is either be the luckiest person in the world and 32 times 32 times 32 times 32. Or to get a radar chain of 100, which, good luck.
Yeah.
So even if you were one of those lucky people and you got a 5 IV Ditto and you found a Japanese player, they got a 5 IV Ditto, you decided to trade, so you both come a Suda method, there is still not a lot of incentive to Masuda. You can Masuda, but like, who's gotten the shiny charm yet in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl? Because how that has been a complete nightmare to just try to get all 400 Pokemon that they 493. I don't even have a Nidoqueen yet, because I spent 3 hours thiefing Moonstones off of Clefairy, and I was able to get like 5 of them, and I still need like three more. I don't want to go back there. This is the best way to get moonstones is like to find the like 10% Clefairy and to thief it and hope that it has 20% moon. Like, it has been a nightmare to complete your Pokedex in this game. The movement and the bike is awful. The difficulty to get a 5-4-3-2 difficulty of getting a decent IV Ditto is awful. Why? Like, there is no reason anyone should be Masuda methoding anything in this game, unless you care about competitive. But that's already died. All the competitive people that were so on their high horse for Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, as soon as Season 12 was announced for Sword and Shield, they all just dumped Diamond and Pearl and moved back to Sword and Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if anything, Diamond and Pearl has shown, like, even if it's the same thing, the things around your game influence that same thing. Anyways, Will, Pokemon of the Week.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't save the document from last week, so I don't 100% remember what the clues were, but I know it's a Pokemon that started with C. It weighs 1 hectogram, which, for those of you who are not familiar with the metric system, that's 100 grams. It's not even a full kilogram. So keep that in mind when you're performing your considerations. And also, it is a legendary that evolves that doesn't know any moves that can attack. I mean, that's pretty much all you need to know, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, also, its evolution, I hate this. Its evolution is based on the game that it evolves in, not like any criteria about the environment that it lives in, but it's just the game that it evolves in.
I got it.
It's
Ducklet.
Yeah.
That doesn't start with C. Chatot.
Not with that.
Chatot.
That. It's Cosmog.
It's Cosmog.
Cosmog. Not Cosmoem. Cosmoem is the heavy one.
Did you not say it was heavy?
I said it's 100 light. Grams. Do you know 100 grams is like nothing?
Oh, I don't know. 100 grams. 1 kilogram
is 2.2 pounds about. So 100 grams is a tenth of that. So it's like 4 ounces.
Cosmog has the lowest base stats of all legendary Pokemon. Has the smallest move pool of all legendary Pokemon. Cosmog and its evolution are the only Pokemon unable to damage an opponent outside of struggle. Since it cannot learn any attacking moves. Cosmog's attack animation is only seen in battle in the Pokemon with illusion as a disguise, as if Cosmog's attack animation is only seen in battle if a Pokemon with illusion is disguised as Cosmog and used an attacking move.
However, so basically, if you have a Zoroark come in as Cosmog and then attack.
However, this animation can be viewed in the Pokedex, the Alola Photo Club, Pokemon Camp, and Pokemon Home. Huh? Cosmog's evolution into Cosmoem has the greatest standard deviation of all Pokemon with 47.14, meaning that it changes to its base stats on evolving are the most uneven of all Pokemon.
I don't know what that means, but sure.
I don't know what that means either.
I think the jump between...
Oh, its stats.
Its stats is the most drastic.
Got it.
So, have we never seen the shiny form for Cosmog?
I don't think so.
Because it's not on this page.
Just can't be shiny.
Because usually somebody like hacks the data and finds out that what the shiny looks like. Shuffle mm-hmm. icon solid, FYI.
Cosmoem has a shiny form.
Yeah, but are you seeing one for Cosmog?
No. Well, I mean, it would be in the same place, so it looks like they're identical. There's probably something different about it. Like how Marshadow, it looks exactly the same, except when its like hood comes up, that's when you can see it's shiny.
Oh, I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. I think the
what
purple
do you see?
Is lighter.
Yeah, the purple is different.
Oh, if you look at it from behind, the it's in normal, it's blue from behind, and in shiny, it's red.
Yeah, it's red.
I see. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Oh, its cheeks. Its cheeks are different too.
Yeah.
That's so tiny.
It's so tiny. Like, I was just staring at it. I'm like, what am I missing?
You're missing this week's Pokemon. I don't know difficulty level on this one. It's either, I think this is a hit or miss for people. Here we go. This Pokemon, beloved by a dear friend of Unova's Pokemon professor, can be directly linked to the introduction of hidden abilities. It could learn the move Dream Eater at level 41 when originally introduced, but now has to wait until level 44 because of the introduction of Fairy-type moves. That's all I'm giving you.
Oh, there was going to be another sentence.
Nope.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for making it to the end of the episode. This will be, we'll have one more episode before Legends comes out. And then I believe Greg and I will be doing some sort of miniseries for Legends. We'll figure that out.
Why can't I do one?
You play too slow.
Maybe I'll play fast. Yeah, I mean, I doubt it, but.
It's going to be wild because we need to figure out when we're recording because I'm not on vacation.
We'll figure it out.
Granted, I can also probably play a little bit during the day while, since I work from home, on my break, on my lunch breaks,
okay.
I get to have a break in my day.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week. If you want to follow Will on Twitter, at Washing the Sink, Greg on Twitter, at White Wing, I'm on Twitter, at Dragging a Lake. We'll be having a marathon the weekend that Legends comes out on Twitch. We'll be starting at noon on Friday, noon Central Time. I'll be streaming for 12 hours. Pretty much every day that Legends comes out. So, I don't know, put that on your calendar, I guess. The reason I start on noon on Friday is so when people get it on midnight, they can play and they can be a little bit ahead, and then I don't have to worry about spoilers because I play a little slower. Some people just zoom through the game. So that'll be exciting. But I think that's all we have. Follow on Twitter, at PKMNcast, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, all the same. I did put out my reaction on the trailer. If you want to see that, that's on YouTube. I also spent the week working on 10 things you didn't know in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. That's up on YouTube now, too. Hopefully that, I don't know, makes you want to go back to Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super, oop, I gotta go. A Snorlax just popped up. Bye! Oh.
This show is supported by Patreon. A shout out to all our producers who support our show at a high level, starting with Steven, Sean, Matthew, Bovine, Kay, Jessica, Jacob, Brian, Evan, Ryan, Nate, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Smash, Gray, Dylan, Carlos, and Alvaro. And a huge shout out to our executive producers of Steph, Spencer, Courtney, and Brady. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like your name read at the end of the show, or you just want to support, it's super effective. You can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast or ise.cash in order to support the show if you want to. Otherwise, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Lit Foot!
And he stole our crunch!
Quick, the zip line!
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries!
I think you mean my crunch berries? Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch!